This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Deliberations begin. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Tuesday, April 20th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The jury hearing the Derek Chauvin murder trial has started weighing the evidence. Meanwhile, the judge lashed out at an elected official. We'll explain why.
Walter Mondale, former vice president and one-time presidential candidate, has died of natural causes at home at the age of 93.
More Americans are getting vaccinated against COVID, but there's been a recent rise in infections, mostly among younger people.
And expat Americans flying back to the States to get their COVID shots.
President Biden has set this April 19th deadline for making vaccine available to everybody. So I started going on Facebook groups for expats and just started looking on Twitter, and it turns out that I wasn't the only one. So there are 9 million Americans living abroad, and a lot of them are thinking about flying back.
Stu Wu at the Wall Street Journal on vaccine vacations for expats living abroad. The jury in the murder trial of Derek Chauvin begins its first full day of deliberations this morning. They began briefly late yesterday after each side presented closing arguments about the officer's fatal confrontation with George Floyd 11 months ago. Prosecutors implored jurors to believe their eyes, building their case around video of Mr. Floyd lying under Mr. Chauvin's knee for more than 9 minutes. Mr. Chauvin's defense attorney repeatedly showed clips of Mr. Floyd struggling with officers to build his case that the use of force was reasonable. Meanwhile, the judge in the case harshly criticized California Congresswoman Maxine Waters' remarks about the case, saying she might have given the defense grounds for appeal in the event of a conviction.
I wish elected officials would stop talking about this case, especially in a manner that is disrespectful to the rule of law and to the judicial branch and our function.
He said it was abhorrent for her to tell protesters that it would be unacceptable for the former officer to be acquitted of murder. Former Vice President Walter Mondale has died. A family spokeswoman says he died of natural causes at his home in Minneapolis last night. Mr. Mondale, who was the number two for former President Jimmy Carter, also ran for president in 1984, losing to Ronald Reagan.
From the very beginning of my campaign for the nomination, I seemed to have trouble convincing young Americans and others that I had that vision of the future that I believe I have.
Mr. Mondale made history by picking a woman, New York Congresswoman Geraldine Ferraro, as his running mate. Before serving in Washington, Mr. Mondale was Minnesota's attorney general in the early 60s after being selected for the post at the age of 32. In 1964, he was appointed to the Senate after Hubert Humphrey was elected vice president, vacating one of Minnesota's seats in that chamber. Mr. Carter, by the way, called Mr. Mondale an invaluable partner and role model. Walter Fritz Mondale, dead at 93. The Washington, D.C. Medical Examiner's Office says Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick suffered a stroke and died of natural causes. His precise cause of death has gone unanswered since the officer died a day after he was assaulted during the riot at the U.S. Capitol more than 3 months ago. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The office concluded that Mr. Sicknick's manner of death was natural, adding in an explanation, if the death is hastened by an injury, the manner of death is not considered natural. Two men were arrested last month on charges of assaulting Mr. Sicknick with a chemical spray, but authorities didn't link the spray to the officer's subsequent death. After being sprayed around 2 p.m., Mr. Sicknick collapsed at the Capitol around 10 p.m. and was taken to a hospital, where the medical examiner says he died the following night. He was 42. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The Capitol Police said yesterday that it accepted the medical examiner's new findings. In a statement, the agency wrote, quote, "This does not change the fact Officer Sicknick died in the line of duty, courageously defending Congress and the Capitol." Coming up next, the debate over police enforcement of nanny laws.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
Hey, glad you could be with us. Libertarians and social justice activists say there's a growing count of victims who suffer unintended consequences from police enforcing an ever-growing litany of nanny laws. Cutting back on police interactions with the public, they argue, will decrease the number of encounters that turn violent and deadly. But police officials and politicians maintain that it's critical to crack down on smaller offenses because they can prevent more serious violent acts. Jeff Mordock, Justice Department reporter at the Washington Times, has the story. Jeff, what do you mean by nanny laws?
Well, nanny laws are sort of rules, ordinance, requirements that are passed by legislatures, enforced by police officers, that don't really involve a threat to the public. For example, selling loose cigarettes. Basically, the victim there is the government who doesn't collect the taxes on it. In Shreveport, Louisiana, they had a law on baggy pants. In some states, there's a law where you have to have a front and back license plate. There's laws on hanging things from your dangling objects from your rearview mirror. And all of these lead to interactions with police officers. And some of them, including the Dante Wright case in Minnesota that everybody's been talking about all week, have led to tragic encounters and fatal encounters with police that a lot of people, activists, are starting to talk about. If we eliminate the police cracking down on these types of nanny laws, we would reduce police interaction with the public, and therefore we reduce the chances of these encounters going wrong, yeah, and resulting in a death.
With Dante Wright, correct me if I'm wrong, he was pulled over for this a tag violation, right? Then the officer noticed the dangling air freshener. That would have been a reasonable stop, or would have worked out in law enforcement's favor, because there was a warrant for his arrest, right? For like choking somebody or something, right?
That's exactly right, and that is that's the argument that the police make. So in the Dante Wright case, before he died, he called his mom, and he had claimed that he had been pulled over for dangling an air freshener from his car. The police dispute that. They say he was pulled over for expired tags, and then the officer noticed the air freshener dangling. Either way, you're right. If he was pulled over for the air freshener, that would have been a valid stop. And when the officer ran his ID, she discovered that he was wanted on an outstanding warrant. And that's the argument the police make. Had this traffic stop, had this not turned into the situation it would have, we would have a man accused of a very violent crime, because he was accused of pulling a gun and choking a woman during a robbery back in custody. And that's why these laws are necessary.
We're speaking with Jeff Mordock, Justice Department reporter at the Washington Times. He's written a piece about police enforcement of nanny laws. Is it a matter of execution sometimes with regards to how these laws are enforced, or evidence that shows they really, really work? Maybe we just don't have good data.
Well, we don't have good data. I mean, nobody has done the research to see the effectiveness of these laws. We have to rely on anecdotal evidence. For example, for this piece, I interviewed a police officer who told me she pulled somebody over on a minor traffic violation, and because she was able to do it, she stopped a rape in progress. There's a lot of that, but nobody's done the data. But we do have evidence, and there's a lot of these cases that I write about in my story where somebody's pulled over for a minor infraction. For example, you know, there's an individual in Shreveport, Louisiana, who violated Shreveport's law against saggy pants. He ended up dying in a fatal interaction with police. There's a gentleman in Arizona who was selling CDs outside a convenience store without a license. He ended up dying while in police custody. The Eric Garner situation, where he was selling loose cigarettes to people who didn't want to pay the cigarette taxes in New York, he ended up dying at the hands of the police. So we do have evidence that some of these incidents have resulted in the deaths of people of color, and not just people of color, but there's been other people who have died as a result of these interactions that are crimes that you kind of shake your head, yeah, when you hear that somebody's violated.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Mordock, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The jurors who sat quietly off camera through 3 weeks of draining testimony in Derek Chauvin's murder trial and George Floyd's death have moved into the spotlight with deliberations underway. In closing arguments yesterday, defense attorney Eric Nelson said Chauvin acted reasonably and he blamed Floyd's death on his heart condition and drug use.
They just want you to ignore significant medical issues that presented to Mr. Floyd.
Number two.
Prosecution attorney Steve Slutcher says Chauvin caused Floyd's death.
He could have listened to the bystanders. He could have listened to fellow officers. He could have listened to his own training. He knew better. He just didn't do better.
The jury spent a few hours deliberating yesterday and will return this morning.
Number three.
The Washington, D.C. Medical Examiner's Office has ruled Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who was injured while confronting rioters during the January 6th insurrection, suffered a stroke and died from natural causes, a finding that lessens the chances that anyone will be charged in his death. Investigators initially believed the officer was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. President Biden says he is prepared to compromise on his $2.3 trillion tax and spending plan as he met yesterday with a bipartisan group of lawmakers.
I've noticed everybody's for infrastructure. The question is, who's going to pay for it? And that's what we're going to try to work out today, at least in this bipartisan group of members of the House and Senate.
The latest Biden has held with lawmakers across the political aisle over the economic proposal. Former Vice President Walter Mondale, a liberal icon who lost the most lopsided presidential election in history, has died at the age of 93. The death of the former senator, ambassador, and Minnesota attorney general was announced in a statement from his family. Mondale served under President Jimmy Carter from 1977 to 1981. The Martian helicopter did it. NASA's Ingenuity became the first aircraft in history to make a powered, controlled flight on another planet. Ingenuity successfully spun up its high-speed blades and lifted about 10 feet off the ground, hovered for 30 seconds, and landed. NASA called it a Wright Brothers moment.
Wild stuff. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, expat Americans return to the States for vaccines. With Mother's Day coming up, I wanted to remind you about paintyourlife.com. If you're looking for a truly meaningful gift, they did one for me that my wife loves. A professional hand-painted portrait of our kids, one of our favorite photos, that Paint Your Life turned into a real work of art. I chose a world-class artist and worked with them to make sure everything was just right. It takes 5 minutes to order, and in about 3 weeks, you'll have a gift she'll cherish forever. I love their stuff. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's fully refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off. That's right, 20% off your painting and free shipping. Just text the word DEAL to 64,000. That's DEAL to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Text the word DEAL again to 64,000. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text DEAL to 64,000.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Tuesday. Frustrated by slow and uncertain vaccination drives around the world, some of the 9 million Americans living abroad are coming home to get their COVID-19 shots. Is the risk worth the reward? Stu Wu, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, has been exploring the issue. He joins us from his post in London. Stu, set this up.
You know, this was really inspired by my own personal story. You probably saw the headlines. The UK is one of the world leaders in vaccinations, but because of supply problems, the drive has really slowed down. People under 45 can't get access to the vaccine right now. So I was just talking to my own American friends here, and we all started talking about, hey, are you going to fly back? Because we saw that President Biden had set this April 19th deadline for making the vaccine available to everybody. So I started going on Facebook groups for expats and just started looking on Twitter. And it turns out that I wasn't the only one. So there are 9 million Americans living abroad, and a lot of them are thinking about flying back either to get the one-shot J&J, if it's still available, or just spending 4 weeks in America and getting vaccinated and going back home.
Wow. And this is allowable, I guess, or does it depend on state rules, anything like that?
It depends on certain countries. I'm in England, for example, and they ban foreign travel for holidays. So I would have to pair it with another excuse, like going back to see my taking care of my 71-year-old father, for example. So it really depends on country. The U.S. is allowing people with American passports to go back in. So it's really the only holdup might be at wherever the person is living right now.
Got it. I know you talked to one woman from London who I think she was an actor, and she went to New Orleans to get a shot, and she was questioning if that was the right move. What was her point?
She was back in the U.S. to get a visa, and she happened to find herself outside a vaccination center in New Orleans, and they were offering the Moderna shot. And her husband back home is British, and he wouldn't be able to get the vaccine for who knows how long, maybe months. So she just called him and said, hey, you know, is what I'm doing right? I feel like I'm a vaccine tourist. And, you know, I'm reading about this, and I don't know whether it's morally acceptable to get something that you don't have access to that a lot of my friends back home don't have access to. And in the end, she decided, you know what, it's better for one more person in this world to get vaccinated to get towards this global idea of herd immunity.
Wow. We're speaking with Stu Wu, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. His piece is called Expat Americans Fly Home for COVID-19 Vaccination Shots. Also, there was a couple from Spain who was just kind of desperate to get back to the States, right, and get a shot?
I was talking to a 71-year-old woman there who had retired to Spain with her husband last year. Their idea was to live part-time with her daughter and son-in-law, who's at the U.S. military base there. They got vaccinated because they're part of the military installation there. But her and her husband, because they're in Spain and they're only vaccinating people over 70, they weren't sure whether they're going to be able to get vaccinated anytime soon. So they decided, you know, what the heck, we're going to book this three-legged flight home back to Tucson to get vaccinated. And one of the things that was prompting her was every time she opened up Facebook, she saw her friends back home just posting these vaccine selfies left and right. And she just said, hey, I'm jealous.
Thanks, Stu. Stu Wu, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday, April 20. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Deliberations begin in the Derek Chauvin trial. Snow in the forecast this week from the Rockies to New England. IBM posted its first revenue gain in five quarters. Stocks finished lower. Apple has reinstated the social media app Parler. Today is April 20th, or 420, the unofficial holiday celebrating marijuana. McDonald's partners with the Korean boy band BTS on a celebrity meal. And the New Jersey man giving free rides to vaccination sites in a car decorated like the coronavirus. That story in about 20 minutes. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Business is rebounding quickly across the country at hotels, restaurants, and airlines, but millions of employees have been left behind as companies seek to lock in pandemic changes to their models and slash labor costs in the future. Will they be called back? It's a story by Jonathan O'Connell, business reporter at The Washington Post. Jonathan, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, of all the industries in America, obviously the tourism industries, you know, hotels, restaurants, airlines, casinos, cruises certainly have had obviously a very, very tough year. Lots of bankruptcies, people gone out of business. And the ones who have survived have largely done that by slimming way, way down, right? So, you know, restaurants are doing oftentimes just takeout or a lot more takeout than they used to. Hotels are operating with many fewer people on staff and sometimes opening up only some of their rooms to guests. And now that people are starting to book vacations again, there's a lot of questions about how many staff members those companies are going to start bringing back.
Yeah. All right. So there's this pool of, I think it's still like 3 million, right? Are they going to get called back?
That's a good question. It's a really interesting situation right now, because in some parts of the country, you are seeing almost like it's hard for them to find enough people. I mean, some of these industries are coming back so quickly in places, especially like Florida, Texas, other places where it's a combination of kind of warm weather where people are trying to get away, and also less restrictive COVID rules, and people are getting vaccinated also. So it's really speeding up right now, and you are seeing some companies having a hard time finding people in some markets. But for the most part, there are still thousands of hotels in America that have still not opened up from when they closed a year ago. There is basically no cruise industry in America at all still. And there's basically no business travel or international travel to the U.S. for the most part. So you have major portions of the tourism and leisure economy that are not functioning at all. And that leaves an enormous hole. Like you said, it's around 3 million workers who were employed in this industry pre-COVID and who are not now.
We're speaking with Jonathan O'Connell, business reporter at The Washington Post. He's got a story running entitled, "As the Tourism Industry Returns, 3 Million Workers Wait for a Callback." You referenced changes that Marriott, the big hotel chain, has made to cut costs here. Might some of those changes stay around that could mean workers don't come back in certain spots?
Yeah, you're definitely seeing some innovation, particularly from leading companies in a lot of these fields. Marriott is a great example. So they are piloting what they call their contactless arrival kiosks in a couple of their New York hotels and also down in Miami, Louisiana. These are basically, looks like sort of like the touchscreens you check in for a flight on in their lobbies. Now, Marriott right now is saying this will have no effect on how many people they employ. But over time, one might suspect, and analysts are thinking, well, if people are happy being checked in by a computer in the lobby or even just on their phone, are you still going to have the same number of people to greet people in the lobby that you used to and say hello, good morning, here's your key, you're going to room 212, whatever? It just doesn't seem like if these kiosks take off that they're going to need the same number of people in their lobbies. But for now, Marriott says it will not have an effect.
Was it Marriott, too, that said it might be kind of doing away with some of those little convenience shops and instead putting in enormous vending machines?
Yeah, that's right. You can Google and look up the image if you want. Yeah, there are these vending machines that they're piloting that are, gosh, I don't know how wide they are, but they look like they're like probably 20 feet wide.
Wow.
You've seen them in probably some airports previously where you kind of are just paying a computer or there's like a video camera making sure that you're not stealing or whatever. But yeah, I mean, clearly the kiosk or the vending machine does not need staff to attend to it. And any convenience store you go in a Marriott lobby would need at least a staffer typically. So again, if you're one of those people in that industry where you're working retail, you have to wonder, is that job really going to be there down the road?
Speaking of that, some people got used to staying in a hotel during the pandemic if they had to travel without having their room taken care of right by a housekeeper. Might those folks get dropped in some situations too?
See, this I think is a huge issue. I'm glad you asked about it because you're right. People have gotten used to not having their rooms cleaned as often as they were or turned down as often as they were during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And, if you cut, the number of times your room is cleaned in half, the number of days your room is cleaned in half, that's basically, you could cut half the housekeeper's jobs in America.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan O'Connell, business reporter at The Washington Post. Coming up next, when a breakfast burrito fails an X-ray scan at the airport. In the sport of business, we're all players, and with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
Hey, Gledge could be with us.
Welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, as someone who's often hungry during this time of the day, I certainly can't condone this type of use of a delicious breakfast treat. TSA officials recently had cause to search a person's breakfast burrito as its owner attempted to bring it onto a plane at Houston's Hobby Airport. What they found inside the wrapped-up meal was a bag of crystal meth wrapped in black duct tape. The burrito became suspicious to officials when it went through the X-ray machine and appeared to have a mass inside of it. Houston police were contacted to investigate, and the meth bag was revealed. TSA Southwest posted pictures of the finding on Twitter, noting correctly that breakfast burritos are delicious, but that the act was illegal nonetheless. One commenter summed up the feelings of many, asking, "Who would ruin a breakfast burrito with drugs? Come on, people."
Seriously.
I mean, you know, there's got to be something else that's less tasty that you could do that to.
So the crystal meth is wrapped in black duct tape.
Yes.
And then inserted in the sandwich or the burrito somehow.
Yes. So, I mean, maybe this seems like kind of an inside job almost. Whoever the burrito was made, I don't know if it was brought from home or bought from an outlet within the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they probably tried to figure out where they got this from. And so the source of this, you know, whoever wrapped up this burrito was in on the caper, as it were.
I'm just are you a big time drug dealer if you are able to slip a portion inside a burrito?
Yeah, I mean,
you're probably just a possessor. I really don't know.
Yeah. Again, I don't know if this wasn't part of a huge drug ring, I don't think. This might have been for personal use. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe trying to get it from one city to another.
You just sound so well versed on it. I thought maybe you have experience in terms of getting drugs on airplanes inside burritos.
I mean, I've certainly have burrito experience, but the drug part is
not
new
the drug
and,
part?
And certainly not something I want to explore.
Fair enough.
And a New York State couple may have finally solved the mystery of who's been tossing used coffee cups in their yard for nearly 3 years. Edward and Cheryl Patton told the Buffalo News they tried mounting a camera in a tree in front of their home in Lakeview to catch the phantom litterer, but it wasn't until some neighbors got involved recently and followed a minivan and jotted down its license plate number that there was finally a break in the case. After Mr. Patton called police, they waited and pulled over a vehicle driven by a 76-year-old man who Mrs. Patton said had once worked with her and had disagreements with her over union issues.
Jeez.
The once mysterious litter bug was charged with harassment and ticketed for throwing refuse onto a roadway.
Man. You're talking about bitter. 76 years old?
Yeah.
Like, don't you mellow with age?
I don't know. I haven't found that to be the case, certainly among some of the folks that I know.
Wow.
It doesn't seem like anybody's mellowing. In the entire country as a whole, nobody's really mellowing right now. And I don't think age especially is mellowing anybody.
So he's been doing this for like 3 years, allegedly.
Yes.
So at the age of 73, he's still throwing coffee cups into somebody's yard.
I mean, you know, I guess maybe he's retired now, doesn't have much to do, so he's going to drive by every day on his way to the store or whatever, and he's going to throw his coffee cup into the yard.
That's crazy.
Sure. Why not? At least he didn't throw a bunch of oiled pennies into somebody's driveway like that one guy did.
Just for purely for physics purposes,
you
have to have some coffee remaining in the cup to get it to travel some distance when you throw it.
Certainly. Yeah, I think the weight issue there. Yeah,
right?
A little ballast, is that what you would call that? Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Who's up for a concert? As COVID-19 restrictions are eased and more Americans get vaccinated, a new survey finds only about 16% of us currently has a ticket to an upcoming live event. Bankrate.com says younger adults between the ages of 18 and 40 are far more likely than those who are older to hold tickets. Gen Z and millennials are also more likely to prefer events that require proof of vaccination to enter. Overall, 8%. Are currently ticket holders for an upcoming concert or music festival. 6% have tickets to a live theater or comedy performance, 5% to a professional or college sporting event, and another 2% to some other public activity requiring
advanced ticket purchases. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Biden administration is privately weighing how to handle the upcoming verdict in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, including considering whether President Biden should address the nation and dispatching specially trained community facilitators from the Justice Department. As the closing arguments wrapped up yesterday, the judge in the case, Peter Cahill, criticized recent comments by Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California.
Well, I'll give you that Congresswoman Waters may have given you something on appeal that may result in this whole trial being overturned.
Over the weekend, Waters urged protesters in Minnesota to get more confrontational if Chauvin is not convicted. Jurors will resume deliberations this morning after meeting for several hours yesterday.
Number two.
The calendar may say so, but Mother Nature does not. Winter is not yet quite done. Snow expected today in parts of Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri before moving into Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. Amounts will range from 3 to 6 inches, with snow causing some travel disruptions.
Number three.
The Coast Guard has ended the search for 8 crew members of a commercial lift boat who have been missing for 6 days in the frigid waters off Louisiana after the boat capsized in a storm in the Gulf. Coast Guard Captain Will Watson says the likely death toll now stands at 13.
Of the 19 passengers and crew, 6 have been rescued and brought safely to shore. 5, unfortunately, have been recovered deceased, and 8 persons remain missing.
Watson says the Coast Guard will work with federal authorities to figure out what happened. The Biden administration is considering implementing a measure that would require cigarette companies to adjust the levels of nicotine contained in their products. The Wall Street Journal says the proposal would call for a menthol ban or a reduction in the amount of nicotine to non-addictive or minimally addictive levels in all cigarettes. New research has revealed that ferocious dinosaurs may not have been solitary predators as long envisioned, but more like social carnivores such as wolves. Paleontologists developed the theory while studying a mass dino death site found 7 years ago in the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in southern Utah. Researchers determined that the dinosaurs died and were buried in the same place and were not the result of fossils washing in from multiple areas.
Oh, that changes everything, doesn't it?
Herds of dinosaurs running after you.
Social carnivore. That's like a Jen, you going to finish that burger? Can I have it? You know the rest of that? 6 minutes in front of the hour. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Glad you're with us. When Joseph Cecchetti rolls up to strangers' driveways in his black hatchback, he is instantly recognizable. There aren't many Fiat 500s covered in handcrafted red spikes, intricately designed to resemble the coronavirus protein. The Washington Post says Mr. Cecchetti had a good reason to turn his car into a mobile virus. The 58-year-old will take anyone in his suburban New Jersey neighborhood to their coronavirus vaccine appointment aboard what is known as Joe's Covey car. In the past 2 weeks, Mr. Cecchetti and his partner Shirley have given at least a dozen rides to residents unable to get to appointments on their own. The service, which launched at the beginning of the month, is free and mainly funded by the couple. Their motto is simple: help stop COVID-19, one ride, one shot at a time. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.